Welcome into the Three Wise Men, everybody. I'm Danny Holbrook with Miles Holiday and Nate Garlock. Gentlemen, spring is underway. The weather's not cooperating. Teams are canceling all kinds of things, and a big race is expected in the future.
But are you okay, man? Like, are you okay? Yeah. With crutches tonight? You all right? What's going on?
I know that usually we're your crutch, but tonight.
Well, I'm thankful for crutches because I had a the big race, the slow-footed 40 is this Saturday coming up. You know, your son has challenged us, so we're going to run against some high noon Saturday at the Woof Boom Studio. Had a little bit of a training issue. Apollo Creed and I, we were out on the beach at Lima. I partially tore my Achilles. I'm using these crutches. I'm still planning on, no matter what the doctor says, he said, you know, if it heals up by Friday, I'll be able to race on Saturday. But I'm telling you now, I think I'm going to run no matter what. But, yeah, I'm going to use these crutches until then because, Nate, if you don't mind holding these for a second.
Sure,
because I am certain that I am going to win the championship belt for this slow-footed 40. The winner of it on Saturday is going to get this belt. Now, I know your son, Michael, thinks he's going to get that. That is not going to be the case. Gentlemen, we have to defend that belt. Even if I have to just find that dark place in my mind to run through pain, I think I'll be able to do it.
Speaking of dark places in your mind, there is a lot of those. Even before the crutches, I don't think you could beat a potted plant.
There's an outside chance. The doctor, he's going to talk to me Friday and then again Saturday morning after he takes a look at the MRI, and we're going to decide from there. But I'm telling you this, if there's any way that I can run, and if I have to go to that dark spot, Danny, I can find that spot and run again.
What if some people say that this isn't real? What if
do you not see these crutches?
Yes, I do.
Right.
I
also
see them. Did you see him get up before we went on air?
Yeah,
It's very possible.
Yeah. Look, I have a high pain tolerance. Lesser men would not be able to walk. I am fighting through it. I'm persevering. I think I'm going to find.
We also have a high tolerance for your nonsense.
Yes, exactly.
So, all right.
Do you think you're going to win that belt, Dan?
Look, I mean, it just seems to. Just seems to fit, doesn't it? I mean, it just seems right.
Let me try it.
No, we need to keep things in reality. Yeah, this is as close as you're getting to this
thing,
big
guy. You like
Danny, you haven't run since Reagan was in office. I mean, who are we kidding?
Well, Nancy, I can tell you, just say no.
So that is,
listen, you know, I'm sorry to hear that you got
the
injury. I know
you're sincere.
I do. And, I know that this meant a lot to you, the training and, I know you've been meeting up with a couple of doctors. I was listening to the show. You got some things working behind the scenes. You know, I'm confident that Miles will find
a
way
to come
through. Don't feel bad for him.
This could be the best thing we've saw all week. Yeah, it could be our Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw all week.
What, that he's
the
hurt?
The Tom Fuller. The circus.
You're mean.
The circus. I mean,
look, Dr. Nick Riviera is doing the best.
Dr. Nick Riviera.
I consulted with Dr. Vinny Boombatz.
I can't wait for this race to be over.
Yeah, this is tomfoolery. Oh my gosh! All right, it's time for the Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw all week. Can we start with Limpy here?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, the best thing I saw all week was the response that we got from the King of the Court Tournament.
Awesome. It really was. Yeah.
Hey, talk about striking a nerve, man! People love their basketball here in Lima Land. There was the response, even if people took it a little too serious, it was still that they were responding, right? And there's a passion for it.
I told you guys, first of all, it's the internet, so no one's ever going to agree on anything.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of what we did with that bracket and why we thought that would be such a fun thing to go through and why we're doing it again later in this show on the women's side of things, because we have so many talented players. What are you going to go wrong by? But that's what's so fun. We wanted people to talk about it. We wanted people to disagree with us. It's not fun if everybody sits around and everybody agrees on the same thing, right? There's so many good players. Hearing the people, and we talked to folks, and we got a lot of great feedback. And listen, the one thing I heard more consistently than anything was people want to see this in real life.
Yeah. When I dialed up my internet, people were saying they took it like they loved the whole bracket situation, and then they put their own spin on it. Where's Greg Simpson? Where's
Bruce
Andrews?
It was an all time.
All time. And then we got the let's have a coaches bracket, and then let's have a girls bracket, and then let's have a whatever bracket, and it just it blew up.
It was awesome.
So I agree with you. It was awesome.
We need to make sure that this happens in real life next year, because it'd be amazing. I can't wait to visit with Beckett Berkey, our king of the court, and see what he says.
If you're healed by next year, let's not rush things.
Well, I think I'll be all right for Saturday. I'm going to figure things out with it. My doctors are doing a great job.
How about you, Nate?
For me, we're talking about, we're into spring season now, and I coach a spring sport. I coach lacrosse for Lima Senior, and being back out on the field and just being able to play games again, regardless of outcomes right now, as we're trying to build and grow that program, that's always fun. But for me, right now as a dad, we talked about, obviously we got the race coming on, but I got a senior in high school, and we're kind of, I think there's like 30 days left.
Your graduation invite. Thank you.
And so we're coming to, the end of athletics for high school and all those kind of endings as a parent with your kid. And, Michael took on a new venture this year, and he's actually out on track, and he's been running out there. And so for me, it was being able to go and watch his first track meet. You don't get a lot of firsts at this point, in your high school career with your children, and being able to go out there and watch him compete in a sport that is so close and near and dear to my heart. That's where I cut my teeth as a coach, was at the track and field. I'm always going to have a love for track and field, and just being able to experience those things and kind of just realizing, hey, this time is starting to wind down. And, even though that, gets you a little sad and gets you nostalgic, being able to watch your kid compete and being able to watch him compete in track for the first time. For me, that was the best thing I saw this week.
That's really cool. Now, how are you going to beat Michael on Saturday?
I'm cheating. Somehow, some way. He did this to himself. I have no remorse for what I'll have to do to win at this point. And he, he did this to himself. He has been warned. I was fine with letting this play out, however it was going to play out. He unfortunately decided that that wasn't going to be good enough. And so now I'm going to have to do what I got to do.
Yeah, dad strength.
Yeah.
I don't blame Michael Garlick at all. He was put into a corner by a man with a restraining order who is now on crutches. He's just defending himself. He's a kid, and you're a bully. And, this is bizarre. This is the most bizarre thing I'll ever see in my life.
I just can't believe the legs that this thing took.
Okay, all right. Now, wait a minute. Before you say it's bizarre. All right.
You got another word for it?
We were at 93.1 earlier today.
Yeah.
All the sales staff, they're like, hey, can we run in it next year? Yeah. You know how many people want to be part of running in this?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Best thing I saw this week, guys, for me, basketball is over, but the Final Four was fantastic. I know it's not high school sports, which we, like to talk about a lot, but, man, you couldn't have got two better games. It was just drama the whole time, and I'm super excited for the national championship game if we get to watch it.
truthfully, though, my heart really breaks for all those Duke fans. It's so sad watching that.
I know, it's so sad.
My heart just goes out to those Duke fans.
He's lying.
A little bit.
I'm not sad at all. Houston and Florida in the title game. Yep. So, and we got to watch Geno and Paige get their championship.
Yeah, that was
Geno
a great
got
moment.
His 12th championship. Yep. He's going to go down as the most dominant college women's coach of all time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, you can say Summit people.
Not 12.
Say,
not 12.
I got you.
Yeah, and a lot of those head-to-head matchups, Geno's teams won. Mm-hmm. But before Geno, Pat was the legend.
Oh, absolutely.
And congratulations to him. I can't see him doing it much longer. I mean, he's talked about hanging it up before. So we'll see.
Don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy.
No. Maybe Kevin McGuff will go to Connecticut or something.
I like Kevin McGuff. I want him to stay here.
I do.
I want to win the title here.
I absolutely do, too. It's interview time, and we've got a couple of great guests with us today representing the Shawnee Indians, Beckett Berkey and Coach Mark Triplett. Guys, thanks for spending some time with us tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. First off, congratulations on your Player of the Year award and your Coach of the Year award. You guys both deserve those.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Absolutely. We're going to get you to talk a little more.
Well, Beck is like, I've already been here.
I know.
I already talked to you three clowns. Beck is like, why do I have to talk again?
Coach is over there thinking, the farther I can get away from you three, the better my career will go.
Well, Danny, I think we should address the elephant in the room first and foremost, right? Yeah. All right. The king of the court is right here. We just got a picture of him with his crown and a scepter. Being the king of the court, what was it like? You watched the show. What's the reaction been like around Lima Land? How good does it feel to be the king?
I mean, I haven't really heard it from anyone else around the school, but it's pretty funny to give my brothers crap about it because I'm the only one who's got one. So I'm the first one too. Yeah. So
now in that finals, was that a tough matchup between you and Jaquel? I know that you guys both really good players, but what was it like guarding him and getting after it? You know, on the defensive end.
Oh yeah, he's a pretty athletic player. He's got same frame as me, and he can shoot the ball and drive. So
you're gonna be okay as a married man. I'm telling you.
Thanks for entertaining me.
But honestly, though, you watched the show. It had been pretty cool. Did you like the format?
Oh yeah, I sure did. I mean, I think down the road it's gonna be cooler to see like more people added into it, and maybe we could become a real thing.
Yeah. I want to do a coach's bracket. I want to see him and Dre White. I want to see Coach Howard. I mean, Elida. I want to see Keith Udendorf guarding Todd Boblin, you know?
For about 2 minutes.
We'd have to have so many paramedics.
How many waivers we'd have to have signed?
Let's get right to it, guys. What a special season you guys had out at Shawnee. But I want to know on a personal level, two questions, one for each of you. What's it like to play for Coach Triplett? And Coach, what's it like to get to coach a kid like this?
It's great. I mean, Coach Tripler really gets the best out of me every day. He really pushes me, holds me accountable for everything I do. And, I mean, he's probably easily the best coach I've ever had.
Beck's a special kid. You know, there's coaches kind of dream of having kids that, I guess, want it as much as the coaches do. And he's a kid that has always been in the gym. If he has a weakness, so to speak, he's always working at that weakness to make it more of a strength. And I've had a few like that over the years. He's got a lot of George Mangus tendencies to his game, and they got a lot of tendencies that they do the same thing, and they're just always in the gym working. So, you know, I think the relationship with the kids are what makes coaching fun. And when your best players are also your hardest working players, that makes it really fun.
You know, when we had Beckett on previously, when you were on with your brother, we talked about managing expectations, right? Obviously, coming into this season, there was a ton of expectations put on you guys. And, you know, that can be difficult for a team, but you guys did a great job of that and living up to a lot of those expectations. I know maybe the season ended a little bit earlier than you guys were hoping for, but on the coach's side of things, like how is it trying to manage those expectations? Because coming in, knowing that you had Becky, you had Trevick, you had the other pieces that you had, there was a lot of pressure put on you guys. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're kids. And how do you manage those expectations, not just at the beginning of the season, but through that whole run?
Yeah, I think that we talk every day about being us. And to be us, you get in the gym, you work your butt off, you compete, you try to get 1% better, and you control the controllables. And I think that our job and our focus was, how can we improve today? And as long as we're in the gym and we're finding ways to improve, then the rest of that stuff will take care of itself. But we also don't shy away from it. You know, if there's an X on our back, we're going to talk about that there's an X on our back. And I think that you see what type of kids you have and the makeup of your kids when they are challenged and when they are, you know, held accountable. And I think that you find out a lot about kids in the toughest moments, and we found out that we have a group of fighters. We got down, I mean, from tip-off, second game of the season, you know, we're down 20 going into the, you know, late third, down 16 going to the fourth, end up losing that game, but we found out a lot about our kids and challenged them with scrimmages, challenged them in practice daily, put them in uncomfortable situations, and it was a group that rose to the challenge every time we did something with them.
Beckett, you're a great player, so everybody's always going to look at you, right? So one of the things you have to do is be a leader. Talk to me a little bit about this year, how you grew as a leader, as a guy that the rest of the guys say, well, that's the one we need to follow.
Really, coaches held me accountable in every single situation. And just like over the season, knowing how I can talk to people, different ways I can talk to them, and somebody's going to take it a different way. And, I mean, I really be able to respond and, like, push our team every day to be the best we can.
You know, all three of us have been coaches, so we kind of understand what it's like to try to, you know, you can't coach every player the same, you know, own personalities of teams and all those things. And it takes a good relationship between a coach and a player to be able to coach a player hard. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, the second game of the tip-off. And, you know, I think that you were one of the more even-keel coaches on the sidelines, you know, that we see. You can see some that get pretty fired up. I think the most fired up I've ever seen you is that second game after the third foul, and Beckett comes out of the game. And you know, and it's one of the few times that I've really seen you, you know, get after a player. And, you know, a lot of other players that may have shut them down or may not have been able to have the results that they had. But to be able to know what button to push, because obviously you guys got down big. You come out in the second half. You push that one to overtime. You had a big performance that night. What's it been like having to get that relationship between you two to that point where, you know when coach comes at you like that, it's not – I'm going to shut down, I'm going to sit on, I'm done for the day, to be able to bounce back from that. And then, you know, to get to the point to where you know, hey, this is what I can do, and this is the type of player he is. So he's going to take these corrections. He's going to take what I'm saying and be able to use that, you know, in a positive way.
You want to start or you want me to start?
You can start.
I think that I know from seeing Beck every day and how hard he works that it means a lot to him. So I'm going to try to do the things that I can to hold him accountable, to make sure that he's getting the most out of himself. He's a kid that I think, as good of a player as he is, his biggest growth in the last, you know, 2-3 years has been as a leader, understanding that you can't talk to everybody the same way. And the way that I can talk to my brother is a little bit different than I can talk to somebody else on my team. And, you know, I've talked to him about some of the other great players that I've had over the years. Leadership is a big part of what makes them great. And you know, we talk about sometimes, I kind of joke with him that, you know, sometimes you need to be a bulldog. Sometimes you need to get after people and you need to chew on them a little bit. But sometimes you need to be a golden retriever. And sometimes you got to put your head around their shoulder and, you know, let them know that, hey, you know, I know you're doing your best. Let's work at this. Let's work at that. And I think that I know that Beckett, whether I'm mad at him because he picks up a bad third foul after he just told me, I promise you I will not foul, I know that everything he's doing on the floor is from his heart, and he wants it as bad as I do. So I think that, you know, he can get mad at me and I can get mad at him, and at the end of the day, we love each other, and we're just going to, you know, get back to work. And that's, I think, what, you know, makes our team, our relationship special is he's a tough-skinned kid, and he can handle that criticism, and he knows that it's coming from the right place. And I know that, you know, when he says something or does something, that it's not a lack of effort. And I think, generally speaking, when you have people that have common interest and common, you know, we both want the same things out of this, then you can kind of work out some of that frustration and figure out a way to communicate with each other. And sometimes it's not the best of communication, but you know it's coming from the right spot.
Coach, you guys had a game this year and you were playing Defiance. And I remember the quotes after the game when you said, and I thought it was really cool that you said this because a lot of coaches wouldn't have said it. You came out and said, we should have lost that game. We didn't deserve to win that game. When you say those kind of things, were you trying to motivate the kids? Because I know late in the year, you can motivate all you want. Kids know, you know, where you stand and what they expect from you. But you made those comments, and I thought that was just really – I just thought it was genuine on your part. And you and I have talked about that kind of stuff before. You know, I had you on the radio show last year. You didn't dodge anything. You came right at it. Is that a motivational thing, or are you trying to convince them that, you know, maybe we shouldn't have won that game? Yeah. But after that, you guys just took off.
Yeah, I think that we try to be as real as we can with kids. And truly, the effort that we played with for 30 minutes in that game wasn't good enough. And if we're going to achieve the goals we have for ourselves, then this can't be who we are. So we were real with them, and we were honest about the fact that this wasn't our best performance, and this performance is not going to be good enough. And we still celebrated it. You know, we want to make sure that we're enjoying every step of the way. And when you have performances where you steal one, then we're not giving it back. You know, we're not going to tell them, okay, you aren't, like, that's not how it works. But what are we going to do from here? And I think that, you know, you can learn a lot from a loss. Sometimes it's not as fun, but you can learn a lot from it. But I think that we had an equal opportunity to learn a lot about ourselves that, okay, this performance wasn't who we are. It's not who we want to be. But we also figured out that when we do put it together and we do continue to battle and continue to fight, good things are going to happen for us now. We just got to make sure that we're getting better from here. So I don't think we've ever tried to shy away from the fact that we're going to hold them accountable, and we're going to let them know that, you know, the standard is the standard, so to speak. But at the same time, like, how do we improve from here?
And now you guys got to see them again in the district final. Okay, did that struggle the first time help you get prepared for them in the district final?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we really learned a lot from that game, looking over the film, talking about it, coming to a group consensus of, like, what's our game plan, what we can do the best. And I really think that prepared us for the next time we met them, and I thought we played a lot better that game.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, I know you like to talk on the court a little bit, right? It's part of basketball, right? There's always those mind games going on, the mental doubt that comes in your mind sometimes. Talk to me a little bit how important it is, because I know teams like to talk, right? And sometimes officials don't always see it. Might just be a little side comment walking by. Talk to me a little bit about what goes on during a game with guys talking to each other and how important it is to answer in the right way.
It's certainly important to keep your composure, I think. There's sometimes I can be a hothead on the court. I can be get out of control, and my dad likes to calm me down by doing stupid stuff. it's stupid stuff, but I think keeping my composure, and I think I don't even let it bother me most of the time because I know I play bad when I start getting underneath my skin, and I think I just need to stay calm and collected.
Well, he always answers it right because it's usually he just steps into a three right, about three right, seconds right, later. Yeah. Like, we can keep talking if you want. But I'm going to go ahead and keep scoring.
Your game can shut him up.
Yeah.
David, are you a guy, and we don't see you in practice, are you a guy that will get after somebody in practice if they're not giving maximum effort? Or do you I'm getting a nerve here, right? Do you get after guys? Because, look, player-led teams always win. Always win.
About every day. I would say about every day.
And you like that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I sure...
I love this.
I try to get 100% out of my teammates every day. You can ask my brother, yell at him a lot.
Does coach ever say, let me tell him that you're...
Yeah.
That's kind of where it's that how are we talking to him message.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I think that they can get a lot out of. They respect... I mean, Beckett 2 years in a row has been voted a team captain by those same guys he's yelling at.
Right.
So it's not a respect thing. Sometimes it's the delivery... And not so much the message. And then with the other guys, it's don't necessarily listen to how he's saying it. Listen to what he's saying, because what he's saying is right. You may be mad at him that he's saying it like he is, but he's not wrong, right? So again, what are we going to do about it here? You know, and I think that he's gotten a lot better with that. But he's got that, you know, we all watched the Michael Jordan documentary, and Michael Jordan said,
took it personal.
I'm never going to ask you to do something I'm not already doing.
Yeah.
And there's no one in that gym that can question the fact that this is a young man who comes in every day and gives his 1,000% best effort. So it's a lot easier to take criticism from someone who you know is bringing it every single day.
You know, so obviously the season ended a little bit sooner than you guys probably were aiming for with that loss in that regional final. It's a tough loss for you guys. We missed a step farther than last year, when, you know, loss. And, you know, this year it was a much different team. You know, last year, you know, you had to do a lot of the heavy lifting. You know, you look at that regional semi where I think you scored 98% of the points in that game and still gave yourself – you guys still were in it all the way to the end. A much different makeup this year, the scoring kind of spread out. You guys are losing a lot, though. There's going to be a lot of holes that have to get filled. Coming off of, you know, a loss like that in the regional final, obviously want to take that next step and move farther into the tournament, but having to replace those guys, you know, what is it? We talked about expectations. There's still going to be expectations on you guys. How do you guys move forward to fill those roles, get those gaps filled, but also continuing to move yourself and this team forward?
Yeah, obviously we're going to miss every single one of those seniors, and we're going to try to play for them. Like, I don't know, just remember them, and just got to get back in the gym, keep getting better, keep grinding. I mean, we got to push past the last season. Last season doesn't matter at all, and just be Shawnee, be us.
Yeah, I think, you know, we had our spring meeting today, this morning at 7 a.m. in Coach Berkey's room, and, you know, we had – 30, I think, three kids in there from freshmen and up, and it's all about, you know, how do we go from here? You're going to have opportunities in the spring in the weight room. You're going to have opportunities in the spring with open gyms. You're going to have opportunities, you know, in the summer with team camps and things like that to get better. And with opportunities is what are you going to do with them? And I think that we have two really, really good varsity basketball players back. But that's all we got. So that means we have a lot of opportunities for other kids to step in. And what are you going to do with those opportunities? And I think that that's a big part of life is, you know, everybody gets a chance here and there. And when you get your chances, do you take it and run with it or do you give it to somebody else? And we have a group of kids, I think, that's hungry to get back in the gym, to get back to work. And We're excited to kind of see who takes those opportunities and runs with them, so to speak.
Coach, when you're coaching and you're looking at your team, there's like a moment where you're like, hey, we got a chance to be really good. What are some of those characteristics that you spot and you're like, man, we got a shot now? And then for you, Beckett, how do you build that bond that you have to have with your teammates where you're going to be a good team? Because if you're not connected, you have no chance, right? So how do you build that? And, Coach, what are some of the characteristics you look for?
I'll let you go first.
Just being around those guys. I mean, some of those guys are some of my closest friends. I've been around them since I was, playing travel basketball since I was 7 years old with them. And being with them in the weight room, talking, we're always hanging out. I think it always builds that bond, and it brings us a lot closer. And when we start playing good, we start having a lot more fun.
Right.
We start playing even better when we're having fun like that.
I like I'm a big stat guy, and documents, and Nick and I, Coach Berkey and I, share a lot of those things. And I like playing the guessing games, after his eighth grade year, putting documents together for the next 4 years and who I think is going to be our starting lineup next year and the year after and the year after and the year after, and looking back and seeing usually how wrong I was, these kids that really came together a lot quicker than I thought they would have, or, there's kids that I put in potential starters that they weren't even playing basketball by their senior year. So all that type of stuff is fun for me, but I think you mentioned earlier that, when your best players are your hardest workers and it's a player-led team, the Greg Popovich quote that I get the most credit for the teams I do the fewest amount of work on.
Right.
And when you have kids like Beck that they're in the gym all the time. I mean, every time I see this kid since the season ended, he's in the gym.
Right.
And it means more to him than it does to other people. Like I always say it in the classroom, if I care more about your grades than you do, then this ain't going to go very well for you. So it's the same thing on the court. They have to want it more than I do. I can want it for them, but at the end of the day, they're going out on the floor. They're the ones competing. And we have a kid, here that is as tough a competitor as I've ever coached. And I think that he's taken his brother and gotten to the point where Trevick is a highly competitive kid anyway, but now he's got his older brother that he doesn't want to upset, so to speak.
Right.
He's as hard of a worker as I've ever coached. And then, he's getting in the gym with these guys that we're talking about having the opportunity to go compete and get better with us this year. And they're all of a sudden wanting to get in the gym all the time. And when you have that, then that's when you start having your special teams.
Now, I remember Avery Johnson at times would take over the Spurs huddle as a player.
Absolutely.
Where does that come about? When do you feel comfortable, confident enough where you could let your players have some input?
Yeah, I say to these guys all the time, you're the ones on the floor. If you have a feel for something that you think is going to work, then communicate that with us. And we may disagree, but it's not going to be anything personal. I know that you want what's best for us too. So we ask for constant communication from us. I thought that this season when, Jagger Hutchins finally got comfortable enough to start saying, hey, let's try this, let's do that. Like, I was like, okay, now we're getting there. Because, when it's about me telling you what to do all the time, it doesn't work as well. But when you're seeing something and let's go put what you're seeing into action, I think that you start getting some better results from that.
Beckett, so you hear Coach talking, and he's talking about, hardest working guy in the gym and the leader that you are and all of this that you put into your game and into your teammates. But you're getting ready to go into your senior year, and you got 1 year left. You got a lot of things that I'm sure you want to accomplish individually and as a team. Where do you get that extra motivation? How do you continue to move yourself to the next level as a senior now to want to make sure that, things keep moving forward for you, not just individually in your progress as a basketball player, but as a team as well?
Just the community. The community is great to be around. The teachers at Shawnee always congratulating us on a great season. They push us to be the best we can. It's great to see them come in the school and just congratulate us, and it makes us want to keep playing harder.
Travel really well too. I mean, the number of people that are at the regional final, man, it was bonkers.
Beckett, you and Coach obviously have a really good relationship. Tell me, let's just three things that are non-negotiables with Coach that if you cross that line, it was a real problem.
Definitely pregame rituals. This man, do not let.
Okay, elaborate. Because now all the viewers want to know.
Well,
I
can't give away too many secrets, but we do have a pregame, let's say, gum that we take before.
Okay, all right.
We have everyone has to take it. Like, doesn't matter.
It is
if you don't
a gum.
Like
let's not get anything.
It's a gum. It's a gum.
Literally, is a gum.
It is a gum. It is a gum. Okay. Second one.
What's one thing that if you guys don't do with me that doesn't go well?
Oh, make sure you text him.
Communication.
We had our meeting this morning, and that is probably the first thing he said to us. If you do not text me, I will be upset with you, because not because you're not there, it's because he's worrying about your safety and wondering if you're where you're at. And then the third thing, don't mess with, is probably his practice schedule. Because not like moving it around, because he copies it out and gets a piece of paper. And I always try to grab it from him, see what we're doing. I just want to see what the day holds, but he does not play around with that. He tries to hide it from me. He tries to hide it from me.
I'm the same way. When I coach, they're like, what are we doing today? You're going to find out. I promise I'll tell you. You don't need to know ahead of time.
Beckett, I've had you on the show before, and I've asked you this question. I'm going to ask it again. What's the one team that you get the most joy out of beating every year? Now, remember, thousands of people are watching.
Nobody
and more people are
watching
now because you've won the championship. You're a player.
The king of the court.
King of the court, yeah. So we've got hundreds of viewers.
Dozens.
Probably.
Do they wear orange and black?
they're a close second, but I had to say Lima Senior because I think I said that before that Lima Senior game. But, oh, it felt good to beat them that year.
I was going to ask you about that. You know, that game was so hyped this year. And I remember we had people, we were broadcasting the game, and people were coming in, going up into the crowd, and they're saying, I need a ticket for so-and-so outside. And they were scalping tickets outside, and the place was absolutely full. What was it like to play in that kind of environment? That was a tournament atmosphere. That was February 1st or 2nd. It was early, or not early, but it was before the tournaments.
It was great to see that Shawnee crowd. I mean, I could not pick out a single empty spot, even on the floor. Like, there were people standing besides the court. And it was great to see that. And we had a great crowd. Love our community, and they really showed out.
Now, Danny thought a lot of them showed up because he was broadcasting.
Bit
of time is more about the game. You brought up Jagger Hutchins, right? How important was it him to buy in? Because here's a guy that could come in any other school. We said it many times throughout the year, 15 to 20 point scorer at somewhere else. A very unselfish guy. How important was he to the success this season?
Yeah, I think Jag, from day one, just bought into our locker room. He fit in well. He let me know that he was willing to do anything it took to help us be successful. And that's easy to say. That's very easy to say, especially when you're a teenager coming into a team that just went to the regionals last year. But he said that with his actions every single day. And it was never about Jagger. It was never about Jagger getting more shots. The things that he would communicate to me that he was seeing on the floor were never things that, I can get more shots if we do this or that. It was, you know, how can we be more successful? And it was a very easy fit. A very talented kid, like you said. That's what it said at the banquet. We just had our banquet last week, and this is a kid that very easily could have been the go-to guy at just about any team school in our area. And Jagger was happy playing his role to the best of his ability, and some nights that meant he got more shots, and sometimes that meant that we asked him to go in the post or to be on the perimeter more. But he did it as hard as he could every single day. He worked his butt off in practice. I don't remember him missing a single practice all year long. Wow. You know, he was at everything. Just a special kid that we were really blessed to get to work with for a year.
Well, Miles is going to ask you some questions.
I have some rapid-fire ones, but I want to ask you – before I get those, I want to ask you guys what your thoughts on the shot clock. All right? I broadcast the game against Sandusky. Incredibly difficult at the end of that game for you guys to get the basketball back because they dribbled and dribbled and dribbled and dribbled. And I get it. That's a skill, but it's also – you're not playing basketball. You're playing keep away at that point in time, right? Shot clock, would you guys be in favor for in high school basketball?
I would, but I think it has to be 30 seconds. I couldn't see it going on 24. I think it's 30 seconds. I think it would be a lot more watchable, especially with, like, smaller schools.
Absolutely.
Some of them would like to hold the ball, take their possessions, and I think it would be a lot more up-paced game, and I think it would be more watchable.
For me, I think that, you know, it's very easy for me to say I want a shot clock because we typically aren't a team that holds the ball a whole lot.
Right.
So I don't know that it's necessarily fair for me stylistically to say, well, yeah, let's just put a shot clock because, well, of course, Shawnee wants to do that because that's how they play. But I do think from a watchability standpoint, from a viewership standpoint, people want to watch basketball. They want to see kids get up and down. They don't want to see games that are, you know, 28 to 24. That's just not exactly appealing for most people.
Who's having fun, right?
Exactly.
2024, who's having
fun? Hickory won.
So, Coach Almeca. Yeah.
I think that that does take away from a smaller school who maybe has less depth, who feels that they can play keep away a little bit, and that's how they're going to beat somebody. So I get why some people don't like it, the ones that want to play that way, and maybe you know, a guard-heavy team against a bigger team, or a team that lacks depth against a team that really wants to speed you up. You know, so I get both sides of it a little bit. Me personally, yeah, let's put a shot clock in because I think the game's more fun that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams watching going, yeah, sure, that's what we want to do. We want to give Beckett Berkey the ball more. Sure.
Exactly. Or Travick.
Nate, you have another question?
I don't know.
Okay, rapid fire for you guys. Okay, I'm going to go back and forth with you here. Okay. Coach, who picks your ties?
I do.
You do? Really?
When I first got married, my wife used to pick ties for me, and eventually she said, I get to pick my own ties now. So that's what I do.
That's good. All right. When do you go out with the white tie, though? That's my favorite. When do you decide to go with that one?
It's just a feel that day. Okay. And if that tie has lost that season, then you don't see that tie.
Superstitions
again.
Right there.
Superstitions.
He's not superstitious. He's a little stitious.
Beckett, if you played football, what position would you play?
I actually did play seventh grade and tight end right there.
Tight end? Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I would put you out at the X and I would throw it to you 12 times a game, man. Yeah. Have you ever thought about maybe going back out?
Yeah, Coach told him no.
Coach did not tell him
that. Shane Warner.
Don't want to risk it.
I got you. Yeah, Coach, Jordan or LeBron?
Oh my
God. Not even a question. Michael Jeff.
Yes. Yes.
Not even a question.
Yes. No, he's Coach of the Year.
That's right. Right. Beckett, who has the best opposing student section?
Best opposing student section? Probably like a WL school, maybe Elida.
Really?
No, OG.
OG.
OG. OG and Delphus, I thought. Yeah. Yeah. The two he was going to say.
Those are good ones. All right. Coach, your biggest superstition?
There's many.
Before each game, I have to do the same thing. I have to do the national anthem. I have to count the stars in the row as it's going down. Yeah. Always have to give, you know, thumbs up to mom in the stands, my wife in the stands. And I think that, I don't know if it's my biggest, but it's my favorite one.
Now, if you guys have a fight at home, does she do this to you?
not in public. Maybe sends an emoji.
You wonder why we have a hard time getting people on the show, don't you, Miles?
Yeah. You can't get a guest on the show because Miles is playing marriage games.
All right, the last one. Funniest thing Coach has ever said or done?
Said or done? I don't know. Probably just the good old-fashioned leg kick.
There the what?
The leg kick. You don't see that?
Oh, yeah.
We actually make fun of him a lot of that. Paulie Karras has a really good reenaction of it, actually.
Really?
Oh, next time Paulie's here, we're going to have to ask for that.
Without a doubt.
That's awesome. The night we Lima Senior Shawnee game, the funniest thing, I interview Coach, and after the interview got done, I get up to walk out, and your son comes over, and he puts the headset on, and he's in front of the camera, and he's going like this, and your wife is trying to get him away, and he won't go over there, and I'm
standing
there
laughing. Sounds like my son. Future broadcaster right there.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming in tonight. What a terrific season you guys had, and you can tell that you're both on the same page, and you're doing great things at Shawnee High School. Super proud of both of you. Again, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, a lot of success in the future for both of you guys. Do you want to be known as Buckets Berkey or King Berkey? What do you want to be known moving forward?
I like Buckets Berkey.
Buckets Berkey. All right. Yeah,
and you will defend your title next year, correct?
I think I will.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Guys, let's talk a little bit about The Ohio State University, and we will start with the basketball team. Obviously, they are front and center in the news right now with guys coming into the program, guys leaving the program. Gabe Cupps, the former Indiana University guard.
Mr. Basketball, in the state of Ohio,
has now joined The Ohio State University. And the one I'm excited about is Christopher Tilley, who's come from Santa Clara. Guys, I'm telling you, this is a skilled player. He is a seven-footer. He's from Germany. He's sound. I'm telling you, this is Jake Diebler's
biggest pickup since he's been the head
coach.
Isn't
it Christoph Tilly?
Is it Christoph
Tilly? It's Christoph Tilly. Yeah. He's excited about him but doesn't know his name.
Yeah.
No. We all saw the same clips, right? Yep. So he's at Santa Clara, right? He's 7 foot, which is rare for Ohio State. Right. We're actually getting a big guy. No, you can't. But boy, I'm sorry. I'm going to be the one guy that pushes back a little bit here. He looked really slow in the footage that we saw. Does he not? Yeah. I mean, he's at Santa Clara.
He's a 7-footer that can put the ball on the floor and go to the rim.
I like that, but it's at Santa Clara, right?
They're
right.
Still playing Gonzaga and St. Mary's
every
year.
Did you watch Ohio State play this year? They weren't an up-and-down-the-floor team anyway.
Okay, I get you. I'm just pushing back because it just, you know, he looks a little bit slow. Why can't we go to bigger schools, more athletic guys? Why are we getting this?
How'd that work out when we took Kentucky's player?
Yeah, Bradshaw's gone.
You know what I mean? So
it look at Santa Clara's schedule, guys. They're playing serious. Contenders.
Okay, they're playing two good teams out of every 10, right? The Big Ten is everybody's really good. Can he hold up to that? I hope he does. Yeah. I'm not rooting against him. I'm just being a little cautious here.
Sure. Pulling from big schools, though, doesn't necessarily equate to success either. You know, we just saw Bradshaw. Everybody got super excited about that pickup.
Yeah.
Didn't go so well. So, I mean, listen, 7 foot, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, I guess maybe potential is a word to use. I don't know if you want to go to the portal for potential.
Mm-hmm.
But, look, a 7-footer who can handle the basketball and, you know, can give you an inside presence, which we talked about multiple times this year that we felt that this team was lacking. And we're especially when Ravel had to go in there and try to do, play that five position essentially. We got that fixed now.
I think we're a little hard, too, on Sean Stewart. We're forgetting he didn't play much at Duke last year. This is his first year of getting a lot of time, and he rebounded the ball really well this year. Now, he's not going to get 12 points a game. That's not his game.
How's a five-star kid never going to be a double-digit scorer? How does that happen?
Well, they miss from time to time.
Everybody misses.
All right, but the one guy I kind of like, and if he gets Christoph doing TikToks with him, I think we're going to have a lot of success. That's Gabe Cupps, right? Former Mr. Basketball. You like that addition as well?
I do, and I'll tell you why, because it gives you a quality guy behind Bruce Thornton. I don't think Gabe Cupps is going to start next year. I really don't.
No, and I'm glad Bruce decided to come
here's
back.
Here's the other thing, too, is you didn't see the real Gabe Cupps in Indy. He was hurt all year long. This kid is ultra athletic. Now, he needs to work on his outside shot. I'm not going to say he doesn't, but he can handle the ball. He's really athletic, and he can get to the rim.
So I'm on the fence mainly because of, you know, what we didn't see this year from Gabe Cupps. And I don't know that I think it's unrealistic right now to look at Cupps and say, oh, this is going to be a game changer and we're going to turn the program around and we're going to end up making the tournament next year because we brought this transfer in, which I think a lot of times when people see names coming from the transfer portal, that's the expectation. Oh, well, you brought that guy in because that's going to make us win. Mm-hmm. I don't think Gabe's that guy. Now, you keep him in, you know, maybe he's in the rotation a little bit. Maybe he helps and he, you know, you kind of see him be able to build and progress and turn into that guy potentially down the road. But I think it's unrealistic for Buckeye fans to think that Gabe Cupps is going to come in and catapult this program.
No, he'll be a nice piece, right? Yeah. Let me help Buckeye fans out there, okay? If you're over 45 years of age, and you want to like Gabe Cupps, okay, do not go watch his TikTok videos of him dancing, okay? Do not do that because you will watch it and you're going, how do I root for this young man, right? But Danny and I got a chance to talk to him on the radio. He is a tremendous young man.
I'm a good family.
I am very excited about having him. I just wish he wouldn't TikTok.
Guys, Evan Mahaffey left the program. Any concerns to you? He never really fit in Jake Diebler's scenario.
I got to be honest with you, fellas. With the way that this team has been, there's not one player that's left and I've been like, oh, no.
Right.
I mean, it's just
a good point.
There isn't anybody who would even if Thornton had left, would I have been like, oh, now we're in trouble. There's really nobody who's transferring out that you say, this team was really going to miss and won't be able to recover from. It's just not
there. NBA player on the roster.
And don't forget that the portal is a two-way street, too. Like, sometimes a program will go to a kid. You need to get in a portal. right? Yeah, you're not going to play here next year. You need to go. So maybe Mahaffey's that guy. I liked him at Penn State. I'm sad it didn't work out at Ohio State. I thought he was very athletic.
Yeah, and you look at Bruce Thornton, and I think we all agree we would rather he stayed, which he did, mm-hmm. because he's a 4-year starter.
Right,
and
right.
You need, and he's a consistent point guard. I
don't know. I use the word consistent.
Well, he was,
but he can hold. But he handles the ball, and he knows the offense.
Yeah.
He gives you some leadership in a program that's been through some stuff.
Yeah,
in
what's the saying?
He wants to wind up in the tournament.
Dance with the devil that brought me, you know, because we know Bruce Thornton. We know what he can give you.
Yeah.
I'm glad he stayed, and we didn't have to try
to
find something. Yeah, I like him. I don't think he is a pro.
They have him listed at 6'2". I don't think that's accurate. I wish he was a bigger guard. I wish Ohio State would go after bigger guards. But I like he's a tough
now,
dude.
Now, the guy that we need next year to make the huge leap is Devin Royal. Agreed.
Oh,
I think Devin Royal needs
doubt.
To be a 18-point-a-game score.
He was their best player this year.
Yes. He needs to be first-team All-Big Ten. He needs to take us to the tournament. He needs to be the unprecedented leader of this squad, in my opinion.
He's got
to
be the first option.
And I think another kid that needs to make a big leap next year is Colin White. I think Colin White needs to, and I'm talking offensively and well defensively, there's some issues there, but I
gotta
think
be healthy.
Yeah, he's got to be healthy, but I think he needs to make some really big strides.
And I think he will, because how many times did you hear Diebler say nice things about him even at the beginning
of the year? And quite frankly, he was in the rotation as a freshman.
Yeah, he was.
He got meaningful minutes. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you see all the time out of Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the way they handled him this year. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think they put him in really tough situations. He did what he could do.
Yep.
There was a couple times that I didn't think he should be guarding certain guys, but they had him out there.
Well, if you're going to be out there, you got to be able to guard those guys.
Yeah, you mentioned Royal, right, being a 15 to 18 point a game scorer. I think that is paramount. But Mobley's got to be a double-digit scorer that doesn't turn over to basketball. I think if those two things happen, you have a Thornton and you have a Colin White making leaps forward, and you got the Kristoff coming in, this might be a really intriguing team next year.
Yeah, I agree. All right, guys, let's go to Buckeye football and offensive line coach Tyler Warren.
Wow.
You want to talk about a guy that came in guns a-blazing and bringing in some of the top recruits in not only the state of Ohio, but in the country. This guy's incredible right now. Now, obviously, the proof is in the pudding. We need to evaluate these guys when they get them in the field. But on paper, the top three guys he got, we couldn't miss on, right?
You think Buckeye fans are like, Justin Fry, do you see this?
Right?
You know, the biggest thing that everybody complained about was we couldn't recruit offensive linemen. Now, Justin Fry, no doubt about it, he could develop linemen. We went 9 deep last year, right? But the biggest complaint Ohio State fan was we can't recruit that position. Now we are. Now can Tyler Warren and the rest of the offensive line coach develop those guys? Mm-hmm. It'll be a lot of fun to see what's going to happen.
Well, so that's the main point here, right, with Justin Fry, the reason that he moved on, it was very clear. He doesn't want to recruit. He doesn't like recruiting.
That was not something he wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, now we know why we weren't getting 5-star offensive lineman recruits, right? Like, those guys are being courted by everybody all the time. And if a school comes in and is not, you know, over the top, they're not going to listen. Justin Fry admitted that wasn't what he wanted to do. He left college football because of that. You now have a guy in there who likes to do that, or at least understands the necessity of it, so he makes it happen. This is the difference between somebody who gets recruiting and somebody who doesn't.
Yeah, I think Justin Fry was like, I sent you a letter. I called you. You're on campus. That's enough. Tyler Warren is
Ohio State.
Every day.
Tyler Warren is, he knows what it's like with modern kids, man. You got to be contacting. You got to be playing video games with them. You got to be texting them. He gets it. Now, is he benefiting from the fact that this is the deepest offensive line class in Ohio in the last 20 to 25 years? Justin Fry gotten those same kids?
I don't know. I don't think so. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, deep class or not, you still have to put the effort in.
You do.
Recruiting nowadays is so different than it was just even a decade ago. And I just think that ultimately we now know definitively why Ohio State seemed to be behind the eight ball with offensive lineman recruiting. It was just because I think Justin Fry was like, hey, I'm Justin Fry. I coach offensive line at Ohio State.
I got the block on my chest.
It's Ohio State. So you're coming, right? Yeah. And kids these days, that's not enough.
Yeah, I went to
you got it. You have to go out and you have to win them over. And it would seem that we now have a guy in place who understands that.
I went to a Nike clinic one time and I asked a coach, what's the difference between a good recruiter and a bad recruiter? And he said, in his estimation, it's two things. It's building relationships early
and then making it impossible for them to tell you no. Mm. And that and those are two, boy, those go hand in hand. And he said, you also, the one thing he did say, and we learned this from my daughter's recruiting, was you got to connect with the decision maker. You got to find out, is mom the decision maker?
Oh,
is dad the decision maker? Yeah. Is grandma the decision maker? Who's the decision maker in the family? Who's the chief, you know, in that tribe? Yeah. And if you can connect with them, usually that, was, yeah.
Ed Ogeron, he wouldn't recruit the kid. He'd recruit the mom or the grandma or whoever's making that decision. Yep. Yeah.
Guys, what are you looking most forward to? The, I don't know how to say that, spring showcase. Well, It's not a game.
Okay, so
it's practice.
Ryan Day said today, though, it's going to
be. He changes his mind every day.
It's going to be a game where it's offense versus defense. They're not going to split the squads up into two teams. So it's going to be offense versus defense. They're going to go some live, but then they're going to do what they call a thud period, where, you know, you just kind of go up and tap the guy. Obviously, everybody's excited, right? What are we going to be looking for? The quarterback, right? Nate, I know you want Ohio State to make decisions early about the quarterback, but so I'm going to tell you this. They are not going to name the starting quarterback until the week of Texas, okay? I'm telling you that right now.
Okay, great. Then everybody listening, you too. And anybody that I come in contact with between now and then can just start getting themselves ready to be listening to me complain about the absolute ridiculous. Now, this year, I actually may give them a little bit of leeway only because of the makeup of that quarterback room, right? You know, we didn't pay somebody a ton of money to come in who's a senior.
Will Howard.
And, you know, not name him the starter.
How'd that
right
pay
away.
Off for us?
Pretty good.
We won the national championship.
Danny,
led by Will Howard.
Danny, we've tried to explain to our good friend Nate here in the past. Will you explain to him why?
I don't need this.
Why Lincoln Kienholz will get every benefit of the doubt here?
Because Lincoln Kienholz is a third-year player.
Great.
Lincoln Kienholz is the bridge between Tavian St. Clair and Julian Sain.
Cool.
You cannot run him off campus
until
the end of training camp. That way,
what program doesn't have three quarterbacks? It's not a big deal.
Well, but we're
I told you that this quarterback room is such a different quarterback room than last year when I was quite annoyed by what was going on.
But it all worked out.
And you're not wrong. But this year they get you were not wrong. It worked out. We didn't win a game that we all wanted them to, but they won the last game, and that's ultimately what matters. This quarterback room is different. Okay? You have three guys who have really, I mean, two of them have been in college but have not taken any significant snaps whatsoever, and you got an incoming freshman. I think it's almost the opposite. I think that it would be a bit irresponsible of Ryan Day to right now say, you are the guy.
Wow, how about that?
Because you have to see what you have. So I'm fine with that.
I don't know that there's a program.
I didn't say that was wrong.
Is there a program in the Big Ten that has not a quarterback on the roster that hasn't started a game? It'd be hard to press to find, right?
Penn State, right?
No, they have Drew Aller.
What was your question?
The Buckeyes don't have a quarterback on the roster that's ever started a game.
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought you were asking. No. I misunderstood your question.
All right, so Nate, a quarterback obviously important. What is there a position or anything that you want to see that you're most anxious to see on Saturday?
I mean, outside of quarterback, I think really the only other skill position that we've got to find an answer to is running back.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean,
CJ Donaldson.
They're saying Peoples looks really good.
So, I think that's really the only one that's probably quote unquote unsettled that we really got to see how we're going to fill.
I think it'll be two
probably
backs,
the,
though.
Probably
that's what
the
Ohio
best,
State seems to like.
You know, we had the best backfield in the country last year, and both those guys are gone. And, you know, so how are we going to fill that role? It's going to be difficult. You're talking about a brand new starting quarterback and a brand new backfield. Yes, we still are going to have the best wide receiver core in the country, but, you know, who's going to throw him the ball and who's going to help take that pressure off of that run game?
I think something we need to take a look at seriously, who's going to grab that left tackle spot, right? Because if you're going to finally find the quarterback and have the running back, if you can't protect that quarterback, who's going to be the left tackle so you can throw that football?
That's true.
Guys, let's do it again next week. What do you think?
Wait, you're not going to tell us? What are you looking forward to?
I just did. I agreed with Nate. I said the running back, absolutely. Right. Peoples and Donaldson, I think you better find an answer because you got a lot of production that's gone, and those two are coming in, and they've never been that guy, the bell cow, as they call it.
The bell cow?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fancy words we're using this week.
Well, like Hollywood Holbrook, I thought you did a great job hosting the show.
Wow.
I'm glad the one camera was on you predominantly today.
Wow.
What did you think? Let's evaluate Danny. How do you do?
Yeah, I just can't wait till season one is over.
That's it. WSN 3 Wise Men.